Well, we're starting the book of John. This is number 12 in the Sunday school series. Okay. And there are two verses I want. There we go. There's two verses I want you to get. We'll do some more. But there have been two verses that have been really exciting for me. And I'll show you these things in a second here. And at the end of the thing, so I'll do them today anyway. But now we're going through John and what's in John 4. And this is really going to be tough in some ways because John is just full of facts about Jesus Christ. Just full of them. And are they, they're there for him then, and therefore about him, I mean not for, they're about him when he, at that time, they were about him during our time, and they're about him during the future, eternity and everything. So in lots of respects, we have to be able to rightly divide the book of John now a little bit to be able to make sure that we're getting out of there what we're supposed to get out of there and not to grab something else we shouldn't get out of there. Is that picking and choosing? No. Just remember that it's all there for us. But there are some things that are facts for us right now. And there are facts for then and facts for the future. That's what you have to rightly divide. Kind of like rightly dividing the facts, I guess, here. But for years, we still have a bunch of them in the back closet for the fair. We would give out John's and Romans. That's what we've done for years as Bible-believing people. And as I look at it now, talk about confusion. We give them Romans, which is Paul, and then we give them the book of John, and as you'll see how we pull some things out of there that we try to apply to us. Now, again, the difference in there is there are facts in John, and there are things in there to the Jews at the time, and that's what we have to be able to decipher, or else you get confused. Because John's full of those verses about, if you believe and pray, you'll get what you pray for. Now, see, that's not true today. So, we're going to take our time through John. We're already off to a late start here, I guess, but I guess that's the way it goes. John chapter 1. And again, we won't cover everything because it would just we could do the whole rest of the year on the book of John, which I won't do. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, that's a fact. That's a fact. Any dispensation, that's not something to ignore. And so when people say to us, well, see, you just read Paul's epistles. No, we don't just read Paul's epistles. We're supposed to read from Genesis to Revelation. The entire Bible is the Word of God, 66 books. It's just that things aren't there to us. Well, this is a fact. It's a truth. Anytime. So yeah, that's there. It's for us. So there it is for us. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, that's true. Another fact. But now let's start looking real closely here. We see in verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. So what was the light of men during that time? Him. And not only just him, but his life. In him was life. And the life that was in him, not having to be in him like we are today, but just the life in him, was their light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Okay, so that's the fact, but it's talking about him, his life. Now, that takes me to look at John chapter 2. This takes me to the end of what today was going to be, but I know it's not going to be now. Verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. That's good. When they saw the miracles which he did. So their belief is based on sight. There's your signs again. Now, look at these two verses. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And I know a long time ago, some of your verses were probably marked by some of you, I don't know. And we had talked about the fact that we have a deceitful heart. And that's what it was taught, because I guess I believe somebody else had taught me that. But after what we recognize now, and we see that Jesus was not in them during the Gospels, and they were not in him. The life that these people needed to have was in him. He was the light. He was the light. But he could not be in them, and they could not be in him. Why not? But it says again right there, he did not commend himself because he knew these men. He knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What was in man? Sin. Sin. So why? So do you see the importance why we have to have a spiritual circumcision? They didn't have a spiritual circumcision. He hadn't risen yet. He couldn't be in them. He can't be in us except a spiritual operation take place. Colossians 2, 11-16. Isn't that wild? It's more than just a wicked heart. We still have a wicked heart. Hello. We still got rotten, dirty thoughts and mean thoughts and hurtful thoughts and all that stuff. And wrong thoughts. So, look at John chapter 14 with that in mind now. This is going to show a huge difference between the Gospels and Paul's time. Huge. John chapter 14, verse 15. Now you know this is working up there, right? For them, okay. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now he's getting ready to leave, that type of thing. He's talking to these people. Then, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. There's a big one. And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now he's going to be in people. He couldn't before because he knew man. He knew that the sin that was in there, and he hadn't separated the sin from the soul or the spirit at all. The flesh was all one. 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest myself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. So, up until this time, they had to follow his life, because the light was his life. And we see that when he comes, he's going to bring, when he dies and rises again, he's going to bring them, which takes place in Acts chapter 2, the Comforter comes, the whole thing. And yet there's still another level that has to take place, because they still end up killing Stephen, and we go on to Paul type of a thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. So do you see the ladder, or whatever you would call it, going from when Jesus was, his life was the light, to where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was the light, was going to be in the people and unto the people. And remember what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, that there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit will be upon all flesh. But we learn from Paul that the Spirit of God is in us, and we are in him, and Christ is in us. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And they couldn't have been that way then. But he hadn't died yet. So, the exciting thing to me here is this, is back in John chapter 2. Again, those last two verses. Jesus did not commend himself unto them because he knew all men. What did he know? They still had sin in them. He knew what was in man. What was in man? Sin. Still there. So he couldn't be in them until he left. I like that. Back to chapter 1. Now it goes downhill from here. I think that was just a marvelous. It's set of verses here. Verse 9, we can jump down to verse 9. He was in the world. So that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So yes, Jesus Christ was the light, the true light. But it was his life, it was him. Now we see in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Who's that? That's Gentiles. He says in verse, we've all mentioned these verses a thousand times. 11, and he came unto his own, who's that? Jews. And his own received him not. Did the Gentiles receive him not? They knew him not. Verse 10. They didn't even know him. 12, but as many as received him, who's that? That'd be the Jews. They received him. They believed that he was who he is. To them, who's that? Jews gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, look, there it is. They believe that. Look at John chapter 6. They could do something that we can't do today. Now, I guess we can still do it, but we don't have to suffer the consequences that they did when they did that. John chapter 6, verse 66. This is the time, from this time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That was that sermon about eating him and drinking his blood. And a lot of these people couldn't handle that. They left. So, sure, they believed on him. They believed in his name. But in order to do that, they had to follow him. Why follow him? Because the light was his life. So they followed his life. They followed him. I'm not going to say imitated, because that's what the New Bible say. But they needed to follow him. That was light. His life was the light. And he couldn't be in the people then. He couldn't be in them. They had to follow him. And if they chose not to follow him all of a sudden, which they did, they're gone. They quit following him. That's Gospels. Now, that's not true today. We follow Christ by following Paul. And we're following the risen Christ. And the risen Christ teaches that he's in us, and we're in him. And we can quit following Paul if you want, but he's never going to quit working in you. He may be quenched. Thessalonians, Paul talks about that, quenching this Holy Spirit. Because you quit reading your Bible, he can't help you. He can't do anything for you. He'd love to. But he also can't leave. And you can't leave him. Again, we see a huge difference between the Gospels and Paul's time. Chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's us? Who's us? Jews. Because that's who he's dwelling among. And the glory of the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received. Who is we? That still be Jews. And we could pull up the verses on where Jesus says not to go to the Gentiles. I think one of the good verses in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's Gentiles. They didn't know him. The Jews reject him, but the Gentiles didn't even know him. Well, how would the Gentiles know him if the Jews rejected him? Because he was going to get to the Gentiles, the world, by how? Or by who? Whom? The Jews. So if they didn't receive him, and they didn't know him, he had to find somebody else. That's where he went to Paul. I love this stuff. Now, slow down. I got so many comments last week for going so fast. Wednesday night, people wrote, said, we couldn't keep up with you. Said, just sit back and enjoy all this stuff. This is the whole picture here is what's exciting. We already know the detail. We just don't know we know it. Look at verse 31 of John chapter 1. This helps in understanding as you read your Bible. John chapter 1, verse 31. And I knew him not. This is the baptism. Well, look at, what is it, 229, I guess. Get the story in here. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, yes, he did, but he was going to do it through the Jews, through the Gentiles. So we've got to understand the details in that verse. Wouldn't that have been something? I mean, you're John, and then here comes the Lord, and you know who this is all about? Your ministry is beginning, and here he shows up now. Your ministry is almost over now. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not. but that he should be made manifest to Gentiles, therefore am I come baptizing with water. No. Israel. So when people say we need to be baptized because we follow what Jesus did, well, no. That's just not an excuse at all. That's not a good reason at all. He came to manifest himself to Israel. Now, go down and look at, if you would, look at verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That was his statement. I bear record that this is the Son of God. Now look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. They believe him to be the Christ. And what's the record? That this is the Son of God. What do we know that they had to believe in the Gospels? That he was the Son of God. So that's the record. That's what they needed to believe, that he was the Son of God. John the Baptist said, this is the record. This is the Son of God. And then look also in verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So they knew who they found. They found the Messiah. That made me think of Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And remember what Peter said. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the record. That's what they had to believe. Now, does believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God today make our salvation? Not at all. But I think there's this very serious type there. What do I mean by type? They had to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And then they would follow him, and they could choose to follow away if they wanted to. It seems to me that we need to believe something too about Jesus being the Son of God, but even beyond that, we have to believe that this is the Word of God. This Bible is the Word of God. Acknowledge the truth. 2 Timothy 2, I think it's 25 or 26. What if that enters into a salvation picture for people? I have to believe that this is the Word of God. I still keep asking, how does a person receive another Jesus when we're talking about Jesus? I wonder if that's another one of those characteristics that you have to believe that this is the Word of God. You have to have the Word of God. And so, is it possible that if you don't have the Word of God, then what you're getting, receiving, is another Jesus? Very possible. I think it's extremely possible. But that separates us even more detailed. I think so, but anyway. What's the record today? This is the Word of God. What's the one issue people will not want to talk about that makes them angry, other than music? Is your Bible the Word of God or not? Everybody's got their different beliefs. Everybody can get along, and everybody can't get along with us, but they believe but one Bible, but they believe everything they want to believe. But you somehow bring this thing up as the Word of God, the one and only Word of God, because they're all different, and you got a problem. There's an anger factor there that nobody else has. Why is that? Let's go to verse 37. Keep going here. Here again we see what they had to do. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, what? Follow me. Why follow him? Because in him was life. The life was the light of men. His life was the light. They need to follow him to follow that light. How do we follow him today? King James Bible. How do we follow him specifically today? Following Paul, rightly divided King James Bible. And if you think that you're going to follow Jesus in your heart, then we have 1 Corinthians 13 what? 13:8. For all that was in part is now done away with. If it's not done away with, we're back to the Gospels. And it makes sense. I mean, it wouldn't make sense to think that, well, yes, I've trusted in Christ. He is in me. I've got the Spirit of God in John chapter 14. And he's going to tell me what's right or wrong. And I'm just going to know in my heart. I'm just going to know these things. And he's going to tell me these things. I'm gonna keep reading the gospel. I'm gonna do a lot of what he says I'm supposed to do to follow him. I wouldn't follow him here, but I'll follow him here. You make all those kind of choices, and you've got yourself a modern Christian. Because you can go to Acts chapter 2, and you can find out that you want to grow in grace. You want to, what does that say there? As far as the community goes, you want to have favor with all the people. He goes through this whole thing of the Gospels, because Jesus is in here, and what do you start sounding like? You start sounding like a really modern Christian. And you get tired of the old-fashioned church thing, and you get into the new songs, because it just uplifts me so much, and boy, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Paul's books, that's the way to go. But, there's a problem here. This guy named Paul. And he really messes things up. He teaches things that are different than the Gospels. And he says it's the way of God more perfectly. How can it be more perfect? Well, perfect means complete. Well, oh, really? Well, yeah. Solomon's temple was finished. Perfected. Perfect. Complete. Finished. Is that how the verse is used? You know, there's more than just, a lot more than just the Gospels. Let me tell you about the risen Christ. Wow. And he gets into that stuff. Like we did for a couple of years. Then all of a sudden, brakes go on, because now he tells us how we should live to please the risen Christ. That's why people don't like Paul, among other reasons. Doesn't it make sense what's going on out there? That's exactly what's going on out there. You get rid of Paul, and you're going to follow the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Won't go to 8, because that's where you beat up the preacher. Well, some people love chapter 8. Okay, here we go. Anyway, John chapter 1, verse 49. Let's look at verse 49. What we got here? Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. There it is again. My kids were saying art, A-R-T. Just so you hear that correctly. It doesn't say thou art the king, art, R, art. Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Really? Caitlin, what'd they do to the King of Israel? What'd they do to him eventually? Jesus, what'd they do to him eventually? You know, just don't panic here. Danica, what did they do to the King of Israel? He was there to be king. They put him on the cross, they killed him. So much for the king. And we have songs we sing about the king. Is he king today? Yep, he's still king. He's just not king down here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Yes, he is not king. He's not kinging king. He's not kinging as the king yet. He is the king, contrary to Elvis fans. 1 Timothy 1, look what Paul says about this. Chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, he be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's still the King. Now unto the King eternal. But he's not King of the earth yet. He's not King of Israel, let alone the earth. Who's running the ship down here? Who's the boss in this world right now? The devil. God of this world. So God is still God. Jesus is still King of Israel. He'll be King of Kings eventually. Look at Revelation 19, verse 16. Revelation 19, verse 16. And it says, He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. What was written on there? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's him. And he'll come down and he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He will be king. King of kings. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, way back in Isaiah, Old Testament, even before he was born, Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9, Oh, I wanted to do chapter 2 today, too. That was just some good stuff in chapter 2. Maybe I'll do it tonight. I don't know. I don't know, folks. 3 days a week isn't cutting it for me. There's still some fun stuff in here to get into. Isaiah chapter 9, verse what? What do you think? 6. Very good, Dad. For unto us a child is born. Unto who? Us. Who's that? And still be Jews again. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, well, he'll be king, he'll be his government. And peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, if you're on the throne, you're a king. And upon his kingdom, if you have a kingdom, you're the king, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So he'll be a king someday. He was born to be a king. They killed their king, and he came to be their Messiah, be their king. And all these verses in John are about him and to the Jews. Because what about the Gentiles? They didn't even know him. Never heard of him, never knew him, other than if they read their scriptures, because Herod sure knew about him. Why are they here? Anyway, now, in Ecclesiastes, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. So what do we have here in this Bible? We've got the words of a king. He's not king today. His words are. His words are magnified, manifest above everything, including the name, his name. It says in Proverbs, a king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. And this is, we'll finish with this verse. Proverbs, no, we won't. One more verse. Look at this one. Proverbs 20, verse 26. This is just a very interesting, strange verse. Proverbs 20, verse 26. Just to set our clocks back 10 minutes today. We'll be fine. Late for work, Scott? Just tell them your clocks are, well, you already got this clock problem. So what's another 10 minutes, right? Proverbs 20, 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked. Wise king scattereth the wicked. And look what he does. Can you read that, Caleb? Danik? Can you read what he does to the wicked? What does this wise king do to the wicked? Probably something your dad's done to a skunk or to a snake. Drives over him. Says, and bringeth the wheel over them. You know, if you run into anybody here, you know, somebody runs over a dog, you feel really bad, and all this just hurts your feelings, and you feel bad, and if you got any kind of clash, you go talk to the owner, and you just feel bad. What are you going to do, you know? But boy, if you run over a snake, what do you usually do? Stop and go over it again. And again, you want that thing to be dead. Skunk. Well, skunk's a one hit. You hit skunk one time, but... Why do you think you don't get the time for that stuff. Go back to John chapter 1, one more verse, a real quick one. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth a wheel over them. Drives over them. Wow. And then back to John chapter 1, the last verse, verse 50. That we're done here this morning. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. What's the point there? That these people believed by what they saw. That's a sign. What did they see? They saw the light. What was the light? The light was the life of Jesus. That's what they saw, and that's what they followed. And he couldn't go in them because there was still sin. We still had sin dwelling in us. We had to be cut away from it before he and the Spirit of God could come in. I think that's just marvelous stuff. There you go. We'll be stopped for a couple minutes here.